Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you for your anointing and your wisdom and your discernment, and that all of your people listening will have eyes to see and ears to hear this warning from you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, we're going to be talking about taking the promised land. In this first revelation I want to share is about a tsunami coming to flood the land. And it's not a physical tsunami, but it's a tsunami of things, judgments, I would say. And this was given to Anonymous, 2007. This is like an open vision within a dream. This was probably one of the most emotional dreams I have ever experienced so far, which is normally not the case for me. I knew God would keep me safe from the flood, but I felt the fear of God's coming wrath, which made me to tremble. I saw myself in what looked like a viewing gallery made of glass. I could see miles into the ocean, and I saw huge, extremely high waves approaching the land. It approached like a tsunami and entered inland. I then heard the voice of God saying, "Go and tell David Eales these words, which must be highlighted in red. Warning, judgment is coming." I then saw myself in a huge hall-like sanctuary, and you were preaching, speaking to me. There were people from different parts of the world. I saw Christians that I knew from my nation. These people started approaching me and asking me whether I was the one who saw the judgment dream, quote-unquote. As they had read about it on the internet, they could not believe that God could speak through a nobody like me. Praise God for that. Well, amen, too, for me, too. The carnal church doesn't understand why God chooses to use nobodies like us, and they only respect the great and notable important ones of the worldly church, but God power is made perfect in weakness. He went on to say, I saw a group of careless Christians in this sanctuary who did not believe that God would send judgment to the wicked nations. They started to walk away in different directions out of this sanctuary to go about their daily affairs, such as work. But what was so amazing was that you were running before these people with me, running alongside, and you would stand in front of their paths and block their way and speak to them the word about God's impending judgment. You really tired me with all that running in different directions away from the sanctuary. Well, this is our ministry, is to reach out to those who have not learned to abide in the safety of Christ and His Word. But I admired your persistence, and I told God I had never met a persistent preacher like you. Because of the nature of our ministry, internet radio and some access TV, we can preach day and night, nonstop, even beyond the confines of abiding in Christ, even as we ourselves abide in Christ. I saw that you would not let anyone pass you until you warned them, and I was different. I only spoke about God when people approached me about God. Some repented. However, it is sad to say that there were many who refused to believe, and they wanted to go back to work instead of staying in that sanctuary. Well, it's time for people to think more about abiding in Christ than in their livelihood. If we lose our life before the time, we won't need a livelihood. We won't need a job. So we had strayed away from this sanctuary due to warning the people. We were anticipating the floods at any time, and this place was full of rocks and boulders. We had to climb down a boulder and then up again to make our way to safety. And suddenly there appeared a fair woman. She looked Western, dressed in white, flowing garments. I believe this represents the true church of Revelation 12 and 1. She was holding a fair baby swaddled in white cloth. I quickly climbed down, and she told me to take her baby because she would not make it. Well, the church, as it is, will be brought to spiritual death, to self, through the coming judgments, so that it may manifest resurrection life. As it is, it's futile, useless, and not affecting the world. Okay. That baby was sleeping in her arms peacefully. However, she handed me that baby, and then she spoke to it that she would not make it, but someone else would take care of it. And then it started to cry violently. Well, I believe this is the man-child's warning to the church of coming crucifixion. I took that baby, which was extremely tiny. I'm single, but I'm sure babies don't come in that size. A small body, of course, is what's being shown here of people in comparison to the mother. And that's what the man-child is. It was so tiny, yet very powerful, that when its head and body started to wiggle, I had difficulty holding it, and it nearly dropped out of my hands. Fortunately, the lady made it down just in time to catch hold of that baby. And I believe in humbling themselves to the Lord, they will receive the ministry of the man-child that they have previously given up. I can't remember seeing that woman and baby at this point because the floods were expected to come. I entered into a huge, tall hotel built upon a rock. It could be as tall as 100 floors. Well, I believe this is talking about the hundredfold fruit of those who abide fully on the rock of Christ. That is the top floor, right? I have never seen such a superstructure like this before in my life. And I entered that hotel and I saw many Christians there who believed in the impending judgment of God. And we wanted to change our rooms from the lower floors to the highest floors. In other words, more heavenly, less earthly, a hundredfold fruit. That's what they were desiring. The desk clerk checked and acceded to our request because the highest floors were all vacant. So that's true. There's not many people there yet, but trouble's coming, and that changes people's minds, right? He said that it would cost $89 per person. Well, the Lord sent me to Matthew 13, when I read this, and immediately showed me the 8th and the 9th verse. So there's the 8, 9, right? Matthew 13 and 8. And others fell upon the good ground and yielded fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30. And verse 9, he that hath ears, let him hear. And also what came to me is Psalm 89, which brings us to the man-child ministry. Okay. He went on to say, my sister prepaid for all of these Christian families with her credit card. The Christian families told my sister that they would settle the bill for their share of the hotel fees. Well, I think this may mean that we have heavenly credit because of the sacrifice of Jesus, but also we have to count the cost of losing our life in this world in order to have our heavenly life. Okay. And the dream ended here. Went on to say, I have been having visits of fallen angels recently. I can sometimes see them with my naked eyes. I just had a visit last Tuesday. I would just rebuke them in Jesus' name, and they would dissipate immediately from view. And I wonder why. Well, I would say to show that we have authority over them in Jesus' name, right? We have authority over those, by the way, who administer the curse. And so this was spoken to me. Floods, tsunamis, spiritually speak of judgments. I believe you are reaching many nations through your ministry. Your ministry is primarily preparing people to escape the coming tribulation. God is no respecter of persons, and he can speak through whom he chooses. And I believe that the coming judgment is around the corner, maybe sooner than some may conceive. As usual, there will be those who are just careless in their Christian life, and like in Noah's time, they want to eat, drink, marry, and go about their daily routine until it's too late for them to repent of their folly. I believe the lady speaks about the church, and the baby speaks about the man-child. Amen. I agree with that. And I would say it's going to be a promised land or a beast land that people are going to, right? Father sent me five words given to the saints at the same time, which he showed me are related. This one is a detention camp, DL in 2013 received this. On January the 12th, 1994, I had a dream in which the Lord told me to go and anoint a detention camp. Well, his name means world ruler, which probably represents the man-child who anoints the camp. The camp represents that beast bondage is coming to God's people, apparently for their good. Well, we know the book of Revelation certainly declares this. So it was to be a place where many Christians would suffer in their bodies, putting an end to sin, 1 Peter 4 and 1. For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Well, that's a good promise. After anointing the camp, I was to run away as fast as I could. The only part I saw in the dream was me looking down upon myself, running down a path or road as fast as I could. So I have no idea what the camp looked like or where in the camp I did the anointing. Well, this is, I believe, a worldwide camp of beast bondage, anointed and ordained to bring repentance and purity to God's people. And here's his note. There is a warning here for Christians to get their lives in order before the Lord so that they can enjoy the Lord's protection for whatever dangers there are in the future and avoid, if possible, places like this. Well, you can escape through holiness. There is absolutely no doubt about it. God promises it all through his word. And this was given to Deb Horton in 2013. For the past few days, I kept getting repeated in my mind this phrase, quote, "For I watch over my word to perform it," unquote. But I didn't know it was for UBM. Sorry. I told Care about it on Friday, and so I have a witness. This phrase is from Jeremiah 1 and 12. "Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I watch over my word to perform it." So we know the history of the word. It repeats over and over and over. Beast kingdoms come upon God's people when they're ignoring the word of God and doing their religious thing, but still ignoring the word of God. So I believe, what word will the Father watch over to perform? How and why will he do this? What I'm going to share with you is a text and some interpretation. Jeremiah 1 and 1. "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month." So, as we see, this will be the carrying away unto the beast captivity of God's apostate people. And in particular, when you talk about Jerusalem, you're talking about the leadership of God's apostate people. "So now the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I have appointed thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord Jehovah, behold, I know not how to speak, for I am a child. But Jehovah said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for to whomsoever I shall send thee, thou shalt go, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak." Well, he was a child, and he was a type of the man-child, who in itself is not powerful, but the fact is that God sends someone, he imputes that power, right? So this is the same conversation God had with Moses, the man-child. Jeremiah represents the man-child who basically said he didn't know how to speak, and God said, "Fear not, I will speak through you," basically. "Be not afraid because of them, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." So to release a sword against God's people to bring them to repentance, I believe, is what is being spoken here. And verse 10 goes on to say, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down and to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." So that was the 10th verse, and here is the 11th verse, which makes up 111, which is the gematria for man-child. All through the scriptures it's used. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod." Well, let me say, the rod of my son, Ezekiel 21 and 10. We'll share that text in a moment. I see a rod of an almond tree. Almonds are first fruits. Okay, so the man-child is a first fruits company. And here is Ezekiel 21:10 in context. Ezekiel 21:8. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, Jesus manifested in his man-child body here. He calls him the Son of Man. Who was called the Son of Man? Well, Jesus was, right? Called himself the Son of Man. So now we see that Jesus is in this man-child body. Prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, say, a sword, it is sharpened and also furbished. It is sharpened that it may make a slaughter. It is furbished that it may be as lightning. Shall we then make mirth? The rod of my son, it contemneth every tree. So the rod of God's son will speak judgment on God's people through the man-child who speaks not for churchianity, but for God. Verse 11, again, 11. And it was given to be furbished, that it may be handled. The sword, it is sharpened, yea, it is furbished, to give it into the hand of the slayer. In other words, God is giving his authority to the beast to slay the flesh of God's rebellious people. That's just history. It's a repeat of history. It will always repeat. Okay. Cry and wail, son of man, for it is upon my people. It's upon all the princes of Israel. There's your leadership in Jerusalem, right? And they are delivered over to the sword with my people. Smite therefore upon thy thigh, for there is a trial or tribulation, right? And what if even the rod that contemneth shall be no more, saith the Lord? Well, if you're without chastening, then you're a bastard, the Bible says, right? If the rod of the Lord's son was not there to chasten them, they would be lost. We must lose our life to gain our higher life. Judgment has a purpose for God's people. Thou therefore, son of man, prophesy and smite thy hands together, and let the sword be doubled the third time. Well, my thoughts were the third world kingdom to conquer God's people. There was Egypt, Assyria, and third was Babylon. Likewise, the world wars, and it brought new world orders, the League of Nations and the United Nations, and World War III will bring the tribulation, the dragon of Revelation 12. So that's what I see about the third time, right? This third time, a sword will come against God's rebellious leadership and people. The sword of the deadly wounded. It is the sword of the great one that is deadly wounded, which entereth into their chambers. I have set the threatening sword against all their gates, and their heart may melt, and their stumblings be multiplied. Ah, it is made as lightning. It is pointed for slaughter. Well, God chastens every son that he receives. A humbling is coming for God's people. They must be humble to the word, not their religion, not their wishes, not their time all spent on the world. So back to our Jeremiah text in Jeremiah 1 and 12. We see, Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I watch over my word to perform it. There it is. According to God's will, the beast will once again make war on the saints to bring them to their cross. They don't want to hear that. They all want to fly away. It ain't going to happen. Because no one hath entered into heaven but him that descended out of heaven. Who is who? Jesus. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Okay. And he is the word of God. Put the word of God in your heart. Humble yourself to it and escape. And verse 13 goes on. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a boiling cauldron, and the face thereof is from the north. Well, the beast from the north makes war against God's people, which was a common part of that repetition, right? Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north. Well, that's the seven-headed beast kingdom coming, you know, at the beginning of the tribulation period. Saith the Lord, And they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. In other words, they're going to take authority over the apostate leadership of God's people today. And against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, in that they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, or Elohim is the word here, a false Elohim, right? And worship the works of their own hands. Religions and doctrines and church buildings of men, they're idolatry with. Verse 17 goes on to say, Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at them, lest I dismay thee before them. In other words, the Lord was saying, man-child, be strengthened to do battle against the apostates. Pay no attention to their disapproval. Just speak what I say. Okay, verse 18 goes on to say, For behold, I have made thee this day a fortified city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, and against the kings of Judah, and against the princes thereof, and against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. So the man-child is going to speak basically what Jesus, the man-child, spoke to the leaders, right? Woe unto you, right? So, as it was when Jesus was strengthened to come against the entrenched Pharisees who warned against him, and I received this same treatment for myself and got the same verses years ago when I was in just such a battle. Verse 19, And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. That was the word he gave me when I was being called on the carpet by an apostate church for saying and teaching some of their people in our meeting good things and truth. So I received this same text when called on the carpet by this group of elders. By an old order religion, and I was asked to speak at. They asked me to speak because they heard one of my testimonies. It's a good thing it was a mild one. So what do we do? ML received this word this morning, the same morning, Nehemiah 9:2, and the seed of Israel separated themselves. In other words, sanctified themselves. From all foreigners. Well, that should be done. This separation is happening. Those who act foreign to God's kingdom are foreign to God's kingdom. We have to line people up with the word, right? And leaders that won't line up with that, they're part of the judgment. And stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Well, confession of sins always brings the grace of God in deliverance and healing. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, a fourth part of the day. So I would say humility to the word brings mercy. And another fourth part, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So they confessed their sins of their fathers, which they had inherited through the blood, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Have you noticed that people end up being a lot like their parents unless they really get a true repentance and anointing of God? Verse 13. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. So he gave us his word, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath. This represents the rest through faith in the promises. And commandest them commandments and statutes and a law by Moses thy servant, a man-child type, by the way, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and commandest them that they should go in to possess the land. In other words, take dominion over the flesh. This is our land that we have to conquer, folks. Our spirit man is with God, but the carnal man is just the flesh that's made from the dust of the earth, right? And it has to be brought under submission. We have to lose our life to gain our life, right? Which thou hadst sworn to give them. They rebelled and left the old man ruling the land, is what happened. You know, they took it, they got prosperous, they got bold, they turned against the Lord. Verse 16 goes on, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their neck and hearkened not to thy commandments, like they're doing today. They are blinded by religious spirits, that they're not anything like the scriptures. And refusest to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their neck, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. A factious leader, for they loved the fleshpots of Egypt, where they were ruled over and fed by the carnal man. So they go back to these apostasies, you know. A lot who listened to Jesus liked what he said, but ultimately most of them went back. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow in anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, didn't take them long. That was the God they served in Egypt, right? They went right back to their old God. And said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt. No, that's the one that ruled over you when you were in Egypt. And had wrought great provocations. Well, so they made their own Jesus, and after their own likeness, who smiled upon their sinful lives, right? And that's what they've done. 19 goes on, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from over them by day to lead them in the way, but it was a wilderness. And that represents the tribulation, as Revelation 12 and 17 is clear about. so to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. And they confessed their sins. 26. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their back. They ignored the word as today and slew thy prophets that testified against them to turn them again unto thee, and they wrought great provocations. Well, they weren't satisfied just to walk away when they rebelled against the word of God. They had to silence the word at all costs. They had to kill the men who sacrificed their lives to bring them the word, as they do today. Yeah. At the same time as receiving this word, ML received Psalm 55, 12 through 19 about this, and closed her Bible because she was tired of hearing this. She asked for another word and opened her Bible and put her finger down on the same verse. All right, Psalm 55 and 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. You remember this from the prophecies about Judas, right? Rising up. These Judases do rise up. We've seen them rise up. They wanted to go back, and they wanted to take everybody with them. We took sweet counsel together. We walked in the house of God with the throng. Let death come suddenly upon them, and we've seen that too. Let them go down alive into Sheol, for wickedness is in their dwelling, in the midst of them. And as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning, and at noonday, will I complain and moan, and he will hear my voice. He hath redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for they were many that strove with me. God will hear and answer them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, the men who have no changes, and who, in other words, conversions, right? And who fear not God. What is a conversion? You're converted to God's way of thinking. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind, not by a religion or a preacher. By the word of God, which you know is coming right from the mouth of God. You can't trust men. 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as were at peace with him. He hath profaned his covenant. His mouth was smooth as butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved, but thou, O God, wilt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. So because of this great provocation, verse 27 goes on to say, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their adversaries, who distress them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their adversaries, which was the beast, right? But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. It's been a cycle, a repetition of history, okay? They did evil again before thee, therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest from heaven, and many times did thou deliver them according to thy mercies. It was a cycle they went through, yeah. And testified against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thine ordinances, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou bear with them, and testified against them by thy Spirit through thy prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the peoples of the lands, the beasts, right? In other words, to be ruled over and oppressed by the beast until they came again to that cycle of repentance and cried out to the Lord, right? Well, they're not doing it right now, and I know the judgment is coming in order to turn them. So, what do we do to have God's blessings and come out from under the curse? We walk in the light of God's word. That's what was said here. And on 16 and 13, a sister received Ezekiel 47 and 21. So shall you divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. That's the promised land, right? But she sent this whole text, which shows us how to possess the promised land of rest, of milk and honey, right? Ezekiel 47 and 1. And he brought me back unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house was towards the east. And the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, on the south of the altar. This was at the house of God, where the word should go forth from. I'm talking about the real house of God, not the buildings and not the corrupt institutions, right? The word is the waters from the house of God to bring salvation and healing to the peoples. Get back to the word, saints. Then he brought me out by the way of the gate northward, and led me round by the way without unto the outer gate, by the way of the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man went forth eastward with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he caused me to pass through the waters, waters that were to the ankles. Yeah, I've been in a lot of churches like that. That's as deep as they want to go in the word. And they just want the preacher, they hired him, and they just want him to tell them an easy way, and he does, because it's popular, and so on. So, what is the depth of the word that you walk in, right? Isn't it more important than listening to many of the thousands of denominations out there? Again, he measured 1,000 and caused me to pass through the waters, waters that were to the knees. Well, that's a little better. 30-fold fruit of the waters walked in, right? Again, he measured 1,000 and caused me to pass through waters, waters that were to the loins. And I'm saying this is 60-fold fruit of the waters of the word being walked in, right? And afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. So this is the waters of baptism that go over the head to put to death the mind of the flesh, 100-fold fruit of the waters walked in. You have to die. You have to lose your life to gain your life. Jesus said so. And that's the old life for the new life, right? And he said unto me, Son of man, that's the man-child walking in a hundredfold fruit. Hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, upon the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Well, let me say, Jesus sent forth two witnesses, two by two. They were a corporate body of two witnesses. Okay. The man-child sent forth the two witnesses. Now here we got on this side of the river and on the other side of the river. And those witnesses who bring the healing waters of the tongue to the peoples, as what we're going to share below, and Jesus, the man-child witnesses, did that, okay? And then said he unto me, these waters issue forth towards the eastern region and go down into the Arabah, and they shall go towards the sea. And this was, of course, the Dead Sea, representing the dead peoples of the world, right? And into the sea shall the waters go, which were made to issue forth, and the waters shall be healed. So, you know, sometimes the world listens when God's people won't. And it shall come to pass that every living creature which swarmeth in every place whither the rivers come shall live. This is a implying a great revival of the word coming when many church people reject it. Sad, but true. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, for these waters are come thither, and the waters of the sea shall be healed. Praise God. So the word and the understanding of the lost people shall be cleansed. And everything shall live whithersoever the river cometh. So let me say, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. John 17:38. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive. You know what? If you get what they got, you'll do what they did. If you get filled with the Holy Spirit, as they did in the book of Acts, first your church is going to talk against it, and all the gifts of the Spirit too. Don't pay them any attention. Pay attention to the word, because you can't add to or take away from it without the last four verses of the book putting a curse on you. So do what the Lord says. And it shall come to pass that fishers shall stand by it from En-Gedi even unto Eneglium. Shall be a place for the spreading of nets. Ooh, great revival, huh? Their fish shall be after their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. Many evangelists will fish for these people. It will be a revival. And it's just like every revival, people come in and take the place of people who were stagnant and didn't want to listen. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given up to salt. Well, living waters are moving waters, according to the word, and dead waters are stagnant waters. In other words, the same old garbage as the Pharisees walk in, right? That's what they walk in. They will be reprobated, like Lot's wife, who turned to salt when she looked back. Yep, wanted to go back. She wanted to go back. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, and on this side and on that side, shall grow every tree for food, whose leaf shall not wither, neither shall the fruit thereof fail. It shall bring forth new fruit every month, because the waters thereof issue out of the sanctuary. So if they're coming out of the real house of God, those waters are going to have their effect. It won't come back void. And the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaf thereof for healing. Yes, you get healing when you enter into God's house and you believe His word. You get healing. Many of God's people are sickly. So as Revelation 22 shows, the waters give life to the trees whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. The nations? Yeah, well, what happened to the church? Revelation 22:1, and he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. So only the living word can do this, the living waters, right? In the midst of the street thereof, and on this side of the river, and on that, was the tree of life. Proverbs 15:4 says, by the way, the healing of the tongue is a tree of life. That's in Hebrew, right? Proverbs 15:4. Back to our text. Bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse any more. Well, the waters of the word are to deliver us from the curse. And it will do that. Not necessarily everybody out there, but it'll do that for the people who have walked in the deep waters, right? And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And that means his nature, character, and authority will be in their minds instead of the mind of the flesh. And there shall be night no more, and they need no light of lamp, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God shall give them light. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Good promise. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. If we walk in the light of the water of the word, we will be blessed to take the land of rest. God promised land of milk and honey. If we continue to rebel against the word, we shall see a terrible beast bondage and death in the wilderness before you even get to the promised land. Now, back to Ezekiel's text. Thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, this shall be the border whereby you shall divide the land for inheritance. According to the 12 tribes of Israel, Joseph shall have two portions. Well, let me say, the land is divided among the 12 tribes, verse 21, by lot in verse 22, and we are the spiritual 12 tribes. Not the carnal 12 tribes, the spiritual 12 tribes. And that means Jews and Gentiles who are born of God are these 12 tribes. 1 Corinthians 10:11, listen carefully. Now these things happened unto them by way of example. The word example there means in Greek a figure or a type. For who? Well, he goes on to say, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So what he wrote to them was written to us, not in the letter, but in the Spirit. You're listening to some of the Spirit here. There's much more hidden in these lines. And you shall inherit it, one as well as another, for I swear to give it unto your fathers, and this land shall fall unto you for an inheritance. So the promises are our promised land of rest from our enemies. Yes, you don't have to worry about enemies if you're submitting and humble to the Word of God. And this shall be the border of the land on the north side from the great sea by the way of Hethlon unto the entrance of Zedad, Hamath, Baromathah, Sibraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazar Hadakon, which is by the border of Horam. And the border from the sea shall be Hazar Enon at the border of Damascus, and on the north northward is the border of Hamath, and this is the north side. And the east side between Horan and Damascus and Gilead and the land of Israel shall be the Jordan. From the north border unto the east sea shall ye measure. This is the east side. And the south side southward shall be. See, God's got borders. If you want to stay in the promised land, you have to abide by the borders. Right? God puts borders. If you don't obey them, you will be judged. You'll be out there in the heathen land and they will take you down. And the south side southward shall be from Tamar as far as the waters of Meriboth Kadesh to the brook of Egypt unto the great sea. This is the south side southward. And the west side shall be the great sea from the south border as far as over against the entrance of Hamath. This is the west side. So shall ye divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that you shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you and to the strangers that sojourn among you, who shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as the homeborn among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. So these strangers could well be your lost loved ones who are out there in the beast, right? And that you're believing for and will inherit the land with you, right? Believe for them. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall ye give him his inheritance, says the Lord Jehovah. And when I finished the above, I received this note from Anonymous, 2013. The broader church is about to go into the captivity of the beast system to separate the wheat from the tares. Psalm 53 and 6 says, Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. That's the bride. And, of course, Jesus sent forth the bride, it said, John the Baptist said, right, to raise up the church, right? And when God bringeth back the captivity of his people, then shall Jacob rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. In other words, apostates will return. Some will. The man-child among us will lead the way out of spiritual captivity. 54 and 1 says, For the chief musician on stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites came and said to Saul, Doth not David hide himself with us? Well, a bunch of Judases, right? Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me in thy might. Well, pray fervently, saints. Verse 2, Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Amen, amen. Well, the factious will again rise up through the tribulation period to test the saints, to see who will walk with them, and to see who will walk with God. For strangers are risen up against me, and violent men have sought after my soul. They have not set God before them. So the word sanctifies the soul. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is of them that uphold my soul. The Word will overcome for us, and through us He will requite the evil unto mine enemies. Destroy thou them in thy truth. So the name, which means nature, character, and authority, the name of the Lord brings the living sacrifice. Verse 6, with a free will offering will I sacrifice unto thee. I will give thanks unto thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Which, of course, brings the deliverance from the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, right? For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye has seen my desire upon mine enemies. So, let's see, we call this the promised land is not for enemies. So, these dreams are similar to those we have received in the past, which speak of fear moving people out of the area, in this case by train, which would only be necessary if the fault lines to the east and west opened up and main highways were cut off, as we have dreamed would happen, and then repositioning us in the area in preparation for many more Christians to come. Yes, they won't be afraid. The wicked will have fear. They will flee. So, moving the trains, we call this, and this was given by Sandy Shaw back in 2015. In a dream, a sister was talking to me, saying, everyone in the circle is moving. This means the local UBM circle. I asked the Lord if we were all moving and got three heads for yes as a confirmation. And I asked, how does everyone feel about that? She said, we are ready to go. We are at peace with the idea. A word received for this dream was Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And ML had a dream called Getting Ready on 6:16-15, which is about them being in a large house rather than the mobile home that they were living in, and getting it ready because all of their children and grandchildren were coming. The coming children could have a spiritual meaning as well as a physical meaning. Many children are coming. We know that. Michael L. dreamed that UBM people were moving into housing close together, which is outside the city. And Bill had a dream that we were there too. ML had a dream that I was moving into an office there too. So we have always known that our housing is temporary at the first, and we're all renting. Housing has been provided. It has been provided. The time is short now. Then from the Walmart parking lot, I saw the following. A train, a document on special paper, and chaos and fear here in the local area. But we were at peace. God is emptying out the promised land of the enemies. Okay. Well, Walmart stores are reported to be staging areas to separate the Christians. And according to Eve's dream, a place where some may never be seen again. The fear represents the hornet of fear that drives the inhabitants from the promised land ahead of God's chosen. Pray for God's people among them. We do not make God's plans, we merely obey them, right? I could not see the message on the document, and then I saw a man's hand as he pointed at it. He shouted, "Can't you see it?" He asked three times and continued to point. "It's right there." Well, could it be that the earthquakes have happened and, as seen before, the faults cut off the interstate and the main roads, leaving the area? The hornet of fear will drive people from our promised land. A false warning from geologists that the peninsula would sink into the waters that have filled in the faults? Question mark. Yep, I think something like that's going to happen. And people will flee because they listen to the beast. They don't listen to the Lord. So I asked in frustration, "Lord, why can't I see it?" Well, because Sandy doesn't hear the message of fear. She is not going with them. In one of her recent dreams, she was hidden in Christ in the underground when the people were leaving on the train. They were being herded there by authorities, right? Then TC popped up with outstretched arms, and she said, "Sandy, you know God is sovereign. He will reveal it to you when he is ready." Yes, that's true. So in other words, he will reveal what you need to know on a need-to-know basis, right? And Sandy said, I see a train that is not moving. So I asked Sandy if this could be the train that we are used to seeing, the only one that goes north and south through the valley, and she thought so. "But I hear a train that is moving. The people out," is what I believe. Then the feeling of dread, like, oh no, came over me. And I asked her if the moving train could be a passenger train, and she said she felt it was. It is a possibility that this train could represent a train of cars leaving town. You can't get many people on a normal passenger train, but of course, the Nazis moved the Jews in boxcars. And then again, if they were going to a FEMA camp, they may not take them their cars. And if the interstate and main highway are taken out, as we suspect, possibly the train is the only way out of the area, and the fearful and the unbelieving are on their way out. So this is all a symbol of that, and may be very physical too. Anyway, that way they could take much with them. They couldn't take much with them, which is what was already revealed to us. Sandy's dream of all the people walking or riding bikes to this central city trains while she ducked into the woods with others as a hiding place underground could be a clue that they wouldn't need their cars if they were boarding a train, but they may not know that they are not coming back. You can't trust the government. Amazing words by faith at random this same morning. So this morning, Michael L. got a Ezra 2:70. "So the priests and the Levites and some of the people and the singers and the porters and the Nethinim dwelt in their cities, and all Israel in their cities. And when the seventh month," on the Hebrew biblical calendar, this was around September, "was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem, which was their leadership, right? We used to talk about our Jerusalem in this area and what is our Zion in this area. We've talked about that, you know. We've seen it. So the man-child David and his men took Jerusalem after he was anointed, and notice the same amazing words in the very next verse. And also this morning, B.A. got Ezra 10 and 9. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the ninth month on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the broad place before the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. So could this be the outpouring of God's Spirit? Possibly so. Or it could be to have a double meaning. And P.O. asked the father for a verse to share. She said, I felt led to ask him for a verse that we needed to hear. So he put my finger down on Isaiah 54 and 1. Sing, O sing, ye barren. The whole chapter seemed appropriate, and then I felt like singing. The song that came out of the blue was Christ Arose. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus our Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Aha, very good. This one we call Many People Coming to UBM, ML 2015. It was a sunny day with blue sky and an atmosphere of rejoicing. People everywhere. Where did they all come from? How did they get here? How did they find us? And what is their story? My dream opened up at seeing hundreds and hundreds of people coming to us, and I saw some more in the distance coming to us too. This could be the call to go into the wilderness after the earthquakes and the man-child anointing. Those in the distance are those coming later. I saw quick glances of people like snapshots seated at makeshift tables. More in the foreground were small, white, round tables. It seemed four could sit at each. At a section of white table close to my observation point, there was a woman who caught my attention. She had finished eating and had kept looking to the right. She had blonde hair that was long and was brought from her face to the sides in a becoming way. Sometimes blonde hair represents submission, because 1 Corinthians 11 talks about your hair, your long hair being submission, and the blonde being the sun, submission to the sun. Her face was radiant, and she watched the people about her. She looked familiar, but she was different, taller, lighter hair. She will return, and she will show radiance too. So we knew this woman was a righteous woman, but she was deceived into a faction by her husband. And we had dreams that this would happen to her, but we also have had dreams that she would return very humbled, but without her husband, who would die. So we think she is a type of many who will repent and return, as the Lord has said to us. So going on with the revelation, this was all outside and people were eating. Everyone had a plate and something to drink. Believe it or not, the food just appeared as people were waiting in line. Well, Jesus, as a type of the end-time man-child, in whom he lives by his word and spirit, multiplied the food in the wilderness. And don't forget the manna, which came out of heaven. I tell you, nothing can stop God providing for you. Rectangular, bountiful tables were end upon end and row upon row just to hold the food. The people were patient and kind and loving to one another. Well, that's the only kind of people who will escape the beast. And I saw close-up shots of lasagna being put on a plate, crispy chicken, salad, greens, biscuits, and on and on. The food dishes were replaced as the last piece or spoonful was taken. And where did it come from? I saw no one carrying food to the table. Well, we know that manna comes out of heaven. Since we were outside, where were the ovens that baked everything? I knew our local body was serving, but never really saw anyone. It was a busy time, and we were servants to all. Well, I would say it's kind of like a marriage feast in the wilderness, which is going to happen. I didn't see any buildings, nor could I see if we were in a field or a grassy area, because I saw everything from a table height up. The edges were also blurred slightly as I took in the scene before me. In the area, I saw no debris from damaged buildings, which, of course, will be needed. Okay. There is a land where there are good people, and there's no curse on these people because they're obedient to the word of God. There's no curse there. The curse is upon the wicked who rebel against God's word. So when people had finished eating, they talked excitedly and were patiently waiting for the meeting to start. This had to be a raised area so people could see who was speaking. Then again, I didn't see this, but just knew that the area on the right was where things were set up. People were looking in that direction. It was then that I noticed the people sitting at the white tables who were close to me had a special glow on their faces. Their face had a sheen like oil on them that went into their hair. There were dozens of these tables, and then I saw more and more with the glow. So those who manifested the glory of God by seeing Jesus in the mirror, which is the gospel, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with an unveiled face, now the church is very veiled, they have religious spirits keeping them from going on in Christ and really studying the word for themselves, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In other words, you're saying, you're confessing that Jesus now lives in you, right? Are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. This is the way, saints. It's not picking yourself up by your bootstraps. It's confessing what the Bible says. You don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. That faith God can use. They had come here and they had been revived by rest and food. And now they were anticipating the spiritual food for their souls. They had hungered and thirsted for so long. Well, Jesus, as a type of the end-time man-child in whom he lives by his word and spirit, fed that food for the soul in the wilderness too. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. We need you. He is coming. He's coming in his man-child. He that receiveth you, receiveth me, he said. And here's some applicable verses. Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Luke 9:12, and the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and country round about, and lodge and get provisions. For we are here in a desert place, or a wilderness place, right? But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy food for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. That was not including the women and the children, by the way. And he said unto his disciples, make them sit down in companies about 50 each. And they did so, and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they ate and were all filled. And there was taken up that which remained over to them of broken pieces, 12 baskets. So, and we have seen food multiplied. And Galatians 5 and 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, on and on, you know. And Mark 9 and 35, and he sat down and called the 12, and he said unto them, if any man would be first, he shall be last of all, and servant of all. In other words, put everybody else, Jesus, others, you, joy, right? Exodus 34:35. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put a veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. And Psalm 34:5. They looked unto him and were radiant. Their faces shall never be confounded. And 42:1. As the deer pants for the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. So we call this one, Are You Ready? Here They Come. And this was given to Sandy Shaw, 2015. In a dream, I saw huge wooden double doors that were several inches thick. They had hinges and handles like those of an old castle. On the inside, there was a large, thick wooden arm that was down to bar the doors. Local UBM was inside, hurrying to get final preparations done. Everyone knew what they were to do, and they did it. There was a man at the doors. And then the wooden arm was raised up, and he shouted, get ready, get ready, get ready. And then he opened the doors and shouted, ready? And there were hundreds and hundreds of people coming inside. So that was the end of that revelation. This one is called A Nation of Refugees Moving Towards God. Michael L., 2015. I was on top of a mountain. It was mostly grassy, but the elevation looked to be 4,000 to 5,000 feet. I could see for many miles. It appeared as though this mountain was higher, and it allowed me to look over to the other mountains that were lower. I also saw thousands of people walking across the lands. They were traveling from left to right. That's a good sign right there. Jesus put the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. So this means to go from rebellion to submission, right? From goats to sheep. None of them was saying anything. They seemed very sober or maybe tired. They've obviously gone through some trouble, no doubt, and decided we better follow God. So the U.S. will be a nation of full of refugees seeking help from God, who will answer them miraculously. They were carrying things that they could easily handle. Well, I believe it will be a wilderness experience for God's people. Many will come to know Him. When they do, He will give them a place of rest. Abraham was a sojourner. He looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God, quote unquote. He searched out his promised land. Well, after seeing this, I thought that I should take my car, as it might make it easier. It is possibly a green 1960 Chevy Impala. This was in the dream, of course. So I looked everywhere for some kind of road to travel down the mountain, but I couldn't find one. Well, you're supposed to stay on top, right? No road down means you should stay on the top of the mountain, close to God. Don't take the Chevy. It's a goat that only goes to the left. Why do I say that? Well, Chevy is from French, German, and Swiss a little bit origins, from chèvre, meaning goat. And if you use the full name Chevrolet, we get lait, meaning milk, possibly meaning for the immature, right? The laity, they call them in the high-collar churches, right? So you don't need that. An Impala is a reddish-brown African antelope with long, curved horns in the male, and is known for its ability to leap. They are food for the lion or the beast. So we don't want to be that, do we? God's promise of protection and provision. This was given to B.A. in 2012. I dreamed I was sitting in my den with my Bible in my lap and my laptop computer open to my concordance. I often study this way, and suddenly from the view of the west window in the den, I saw a big black Hummer vehicle pull up right outside the window. I saw five men dressed in military clothing get out of the vehicle. I could see that one of them was a high-ranking officer. My husband was standing in the kitchen between the refrigerator and the island. I stood up out of my chair and told him not to move or speak, no matter what happened. And I then began to pray, a prophetic view of obviously. I began to pray this prayer: Heavenly Father, please make everything in this house invisible except me, these two chairs in the den, and the table, and the mattress, blankets, and pillows on the floor, and the four slices of bread and two small potatoes in the cupboard. Father, please make our enemies to be at peace with us, and please make our enemies bless us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. As I finished my prayer, the officer approached the sliding glass door to the den and entered the room. He looked straight at me. Then, without saying a word, he began to search the house. What happened next was amazing. The officer began to walk into the kitchen between the refrigerator and the island where my husband was standing. The officer passed right through my husband. Now, I've seen things like this happen before. And proceeded into the dining room and all of the other rooms on that side of the house. And then the officer came back into the kitchen and opened the cupboard and saw the four slices of bread and two potatoes. He gently closed the cupboard door and walked over to the sliding glass door and opened the door in a strange language I had never heard before. He commanded one of the young men to retrieve a large sack from the front seat of the Hummer. I was actually able to understand what the officer said to this man. The young man got the sack and brought it to the officer. The officer then came back into the house and placed the sack on the counter in the kitchen and then went back outside. And then the officer reached inside the Hummer and had something in his hand, and as he walked over to the west window, he placed something that looked like a seal across the window, then got back into the Hummer and left. And all of this transpired without one word being spoken. I then looked back at my husband, and I was amazed at what I saw. His hair, which was sandy blonde before, was now a snow white. I asked him, "Do you understand what just happened?" He looked at me and fell to his knees in sobbing tears, and he cried out to the Lord to forgive him for his sins. And after a while, he got up, and we discussed what all had taken place. I then asked my husband to pour out the contents of the sack onto the counter. And the sack contained two bottles of water, two apples, and a large bag of peanuts still in the shell. My husband then said to me, "Everything you prayed for in your prayer was granted by the Lord." We then sang and praised the Lord together. We then went outside to see more clearly what was on this seal that was placed on the window. There was writing in a foreign language, but I was able to read and understand it as it read, "This house is clean," quote unquote. I looked up the driveway and I could see that there was another one of these seals on the gate at the front of the driveway. So we went up to the gate to take a closer look at that seal. And this seal read, "This property has been inspected and is clean. No further inspections required," unquote. Then I awoke from the dream. Well, obviously they were in possession of a beast army, right? She said, "I got up from the bed and just sat for hours thinking about this dream. Tears of joy ran down my face as I believed the Lord was reassuring me that all would be well, and my family and me just were to just believe, right? Mark 11:23, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Amen. You'll need to understand verses like that, that wasn't just for the apostles. It's for us. The things that were given to them were for us. And this one we call the righteous remain in the land. MY 2012. Here's a background note. We know there is a spiritual promised land of our lives, which is taken possession of as the old man is conquered by the sword or word of the spiritual man who then rules this life. This is what to lose your life to gain your life means, right? However, this dream has a special and more physical meaning to the brethren involved with it, because we are in a land that was promised to us and others by the Lord. And he has told us that only the righteous will remain. The testings of the Lord and the temptations of self have proven some people unworthy to remain in the refuge land. And they are being removed, just like in this dream. And we have heard this warning many times and received some of the verses which we'll share from the Lord before. In my dream, a group of people were lying down on an open area, and I was lying on my side. I saw what I thought was, in the spirit, an image of me with my right arm ripped almost entirely off of my shoulder and barely hanging on by a piece of flesh or muscle. I was told that if I lay that way on my side, I would not be protected from the strong wind, and the result would be damage to my arm. Well, the strong wind, I believe, is the tribulations to come, and the arm represents the works of the Christian that will not survive the trial unless they overcome. In other words, their works will fail to be works of faith. It's not the arm of the flesh, right, that will help us to conquer. It hinders. So Matthew 7:24, everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And, of course, this is a place of rest in the promises. The rock is the Word. It is Jesus Christ. We believe Him. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. So another way of saying this is their works were burned up in the fiery trial. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if any man buildeth on the foundation, gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, that's the dark man right there, works that can burn up, right? Each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in the fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. Of course, it's going to take out the wood, the hay, and the stubble. And if any man's work shall abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. In other words, if your works are God's works, that's different. That's a reward, right? But if it's works of the arm of the flesh, there's no reward for that. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. So he will continue in the fire for the flesh to be burned up, right, and come out sanctified. I was then instructed in the spirit, or in my mind, on how to lie properly and in what direction to lie my head to avoid any damage. Well, we have to place our head in a way in which we will not receive damage, right? That's why we read the scriptures. We get our renewed mind, right? I practiced this a few times, and I knew that I had to remember it, and I had to lie flat with all of my members against the ground. I believe, in other words, this is saying we have to have all of our works our arms, in other words, walk, legs, head, mind, and torso, heart, resting from our own works through faith in the promises. I had to keep my eyes away from the wind. In other words, get your eyes off the problem and on the Lord. There was a black or dark man lying to my left when I held up my hand towards him in the shape or forming the letter C. The Christian, I believe, is trying to teach the dark man who walks in darkness how to survive the coming curse. This dark man represents either the flesh or others' flesh who walk in it, right? And I thought that the sea was a type of sign language, or I was telling myself to see. Or I would say it could also mean that we must keep our eyes away from the problem or curse and put them on sea for Christ. As I lay there in the shape that I was shown, with one hand I began to pat each part of my body as if to verify its position or to draw attention to it for instruction. In other words, for the dark man. And at some point there were no other people around, and I started wondering what would cause the strong wind. Well, notice that the dark man was taken away. This is what the wind and fire do, is get rid of the old man, right? I considered a nuclear blast or other disaster that would cause a strong wind. And I awoke and had the strong feeling that the C shape made with my hand was telling me to see or pay attention. Yeah, the strong wind is any trial that tempts us to get into our own works and so fail to stay in the rest of faith, which is what saves us, right? And when we heard this dream, there were three other people in the room with me, and I asked them to get a word from the Lord by faith concerning this wind and what it would do by opening their Bible randomly and putting their fingers down or listening to the Holy Spirit. I was first to find a verse, Proverbs 2 and 21. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. We've seen this happen. When people fell into faction, they would leave the land. Yeah, amazing. God wanted us to notice that in the beginning. Notice that those who are in the rest of faith will remain in the promised land. But just as in the dream, the dark man is gone, this land that all four of us are in and has been promised to us is the boat, the ark, the refuge, had different parables pointing this out to us, right? M.Y.'s wife got Psalm 73, which is all about the end of the wicked and the survival of the righteous. Psalm 73:18. Surely thou settest them in slippery places, thou castest them down to destruction. How they become a desolation in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. Well, there's that 18 verse and 19 verse again, right? Verse 27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that play the harlot, departing from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have made the Lord Jehovah my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works. Then M.Y. got astounding verses about what would happen to the wicked who opposed our building of the spiritual temple, which of course is the people. In this text, those who persecuted the Jews as a faction stopped them from building the temple of God. And as is happening and has happened, you know, before. So, were made to help them or be destroyed, as is happening, Ezra 6 and 10, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savor unto the God of heaven. The sacrifice of the flesh or dark man burning up in the fiery trial is implied here again. And pray for the life of the king and of his sons. And verse 11, also, I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let a beam be pulled out from his house, and let him be lifted up and fastened thereon. In other words, let him be crucified, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. So the king gave favor. He didn't listen to the faction at all. He listened to the people. And he blessed them. Then M.Y. got a text that speaks of the backsliding people of God from the spirit-filled and non-spirit-filled groups that were taken captive out of their land by the beast because of their spiritual idols and spiritual fornication. Jeremiah 3 and 8, And I saw when for this very cause that backsliding Israel, that's the non-spirit-filled people, had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet treacherous Judah, now Judah represents the spirit-filled people because the Shekinah glory was in the temple in their midst. The rest of them went over and started their own religious thing, right? So Judah, which the spirit-filled, who had the house of God in their midst. Her sister feared not, but she also went and played the harlot. And it came to pass, through the lightness of her whoredoms, that the land was polluted, and she committed adultery with stones and stocks. And yet, for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not returned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, says the Lord. So in the rest of the text, the overcomers who came out of bondage were brought to the bride, Jerusalem. Verse 14. Return, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am a husband unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And verse 17, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations, which is the word for Gentiles, shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. So the name of the Lord was Jerusalem, because it's the nature, character, and authority of the Lord to go up to Jerusalem, right? So notice the overcomers shall escape and be given the land. But I said, how will I put these among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of the nations? And I said, you shall call me my father. Notice they don't call the Lord all the Old Testament names that show us who he is. They have a more familiar name, my father, and shall not turn away from following me. That's what we're supposed to call him, my father. Notice once again that the wicked will not stay in the land. The righteous who walk by faith will. So S.Y. asked for one more verse, and it was about the wicked breaking their arms, just like the dream, right? Psalm 37 and 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The rest of the text fits too. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be put to shame in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. In smoke shall they consume away. A dear friend of mine, whose name was Bolivar, asked God what would happen to the carnal Christians in the coming days, and he got Isaiah 65 and 9. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains, and my chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor, which means troubling, a place for herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. But ye that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for fortune, in other words, to profit the flesh, right? And that fill up mingled wine unto destiny, I will destine you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer, and when I spake, you did not hear. But you did that which was evil in mine eyes, and chose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for the sorrow of heart, and shall wail for vexation of spirit. And Psalm 125:3, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. See, no beast, right? That the righteous put not forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that are good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. But as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Zephaniah 3:11. In that day shalt thou not be put to shame for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee the proudly exalting ones. And he has done that with us. And thou shalt no more be haughty in my holy mountain, but I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall take refuge in the name of the Lord, the nature, character, and authority of the Lord, right? The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. And Amos 9:10, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say the evil shall not overtake nor meet us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. Tabernacle, of course, is a mobile temple, right? And I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. So the Davids will conquer those who sold their birthright to be sons of Abraham. Right? And all the nations that are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Good promises. Big warnings. We have to humble ourselves and follow the Lord. Get in the Word where you can see the truth, right? Amen. Thank you, Father, for this good warning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, the Lord bless you and keep you. Please keep this in mind and go with the Lord. Amen.